This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
This episode of The Secrets of Once Upon a Time is brought to you by Bluehost. It is the destination for anyone who wants to start a blog, a website, or anything else on the internet. It's affordable, they make it easy to install a professional WordPress blog, and, well, did I mention that it's great? Go over to sqpn.com/bluehost for more information. And by the Amazon store. Click on the link on our website, sqpn.com, before you shop at Amazon, and your purchase will help support our show.
Regina, I would like you to meet...
Mary?
Robin?
I thought you were dead. I thought I'd never see you again.
And I you.
Mama?
Roland! Oh, my baby! Roland! You did this. I just wanted to save her life.
You're just like your mother. Never thinking of consequences.
I didn't know.
Of course you didn't.
And just when we thought that there would be all just happy endings to this third season of Once Upon a Time, this happens! It's the finale discussion of Secrets of Once Upon a Time. We are going to discuss the two-hour finale with Lisa, David, Shelley, and Inge. I'm so glad that you guys are joining me. I'm Father Roderick for this final discussion of this season. And, well, I have, of course, the biggest question to all of you, the one that I always ask, but this time I am... well, actually expecting what I'm going to hear. Your rates, please. How would you rate this episode? David, let me start with you.
Definitely, I'd go with 9.5 just because, yeah, this hit everything from the witty banter to the emotional whiplash. It was great.
Lisa.
I love that, David, emotional whiplash. I'm going to remember that for later. I'm going to give it a 10. I mean, it was, I loved it. I watched it twice. My kids were excited. We just had a great time. And that scene, it was all so happy endings. And then, yeah, can't let Regina be happy. Oh.
Inge, what about you?
I already said on Facebook that we need a new rating scale for this episode, because last week I said 9.5 out of 10, and this was way better than last week. So
we need a new rating system that allows us to go through the roof with our ratings.
Yeah, so I would give it a rating of 11 out of 10. Is that possible?
It's totally possible.
Anything is possible.
In this podcast, it is.
And Shelley.
I am with Inge. Last week I was a 10, and this was heads and shoulders. It was a 10 plus. I mean, it was just amazing. They did everything we wanted and did it in a fun way, and you just couldn't stand to turn it off or walk away. It was awesome.
Actually, I think that ratings don't do justice to this episode. I thought it was gold. It was just pure gold. It was... fantastic. It was on so many levels. It was gratifying. It was fulfilling. It was shocking at some points. It was surprising. I was smiling. I was laughing. I actually teared up towards the end several times. And then there was this like, oh my goodness, what are they doing?
Yeah.
And the final reveal was unexpected, and yet I was like, oh, this is so smart to introduce this character.
Yeah.
They are tapping into this worldwide phenomenon called Frozen. And my goodness, how smart is that? Yes, it felt a little bit out of the blue, literally, but who cares? It is, it's tapping into, I think, one of the best stories that Disney has told in the past, I don't know, 50 years, perhaps. So, but before we talk about that reveal at the end, let me take you back to the beginning of the story. And how fun was it when you saw this time, well, Deborah isn't here, but this was the least hidden Mickey of the entire show.
I know. There was no hiding about it.
She said that on Facebook, right?
You missed that one. You weren't looking.
I loved it. It was the first time that we saw the youngest version of Emma yet, and setting this stage for, you know, she's an orphan and she wants to have a home. She doesn't belong. Wow, I love that. I love that. And that wasn't the last Disney reference, because then we get those great one-liners. And oh my gosh, I stopped writing down the one-liners. But didn't you love the whole question? I hope you're not going to do the Lion King thing.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
It was fantastic. I love that idea of doing the reveal of the name at the end of the episode. To tease us. They were like, look, everybody wants to know what the name is going to be. And I was like, well, are they going to name the baby after a new character? And then just the class to name it after the hero who lost his life. And it was just the perfect emotional conclusion, I think, of this whole this pregnancy, and then this new hope. Speaking of a new hope, Star Wars reference.
Wait a minute. If you're going to bring up the name, I have to say I didn't like the name.
What?
No, he said a new hope. He's going with Princess Leia.
Yes.
I know, yeah. But you're switching on me real quick. I did not like the name.
Why not?
I was disappointed. I thought it was cheesy.
Okay, you're off the show.
Oh, you're talking about the baby? I'm agreeing with the baby. Yeah.
Now she's going to call her brother by her former lover, her baby daddy's name, and Henry has to say Uncle Neil when his dad is Neil.
Isn't that the thing that the families do? Families name their children after their grandparents, after their uncles, it's continuity.
And it was a great wrap up to the whole Neil storyline. Yes. I mean, we know he's not coming back.
But it would have been better as a middle name, not as the first name.
Oh,
that's just
no,
weird.
I don't agree. I thought it was brilliant.
No, it had to have been. It was a little weird. I didn't give him a middle name, but I loved it. I thought that was a great moment.
I totally agree with you, Lisa. Don't listen to them. It was an awesome name. They can always call the dead one Bay, you know. Well, they've got two names anyway, so.
Yeah. My kids go, why didn't they name him Balefire? I'm like, that's just weird.
Yeah, that would not be a good move unless you have a lot of dark magic to defend yourself in school against the bullies.
But I hope they do something more like James Neil or...
James Nicholas,
just
we call him Neil.
Neil. And it's Prince Neil.
That doesn't sound right.
I love that. It is perfect. Okay, moving on before you spoil my excitement. I love the way in which they showed at the beginning, you know, this Robin Hood and Regina moment where they drink to the return of our heart. And this, I didn't realize it at the time, but how incredibly pivotal was this discussion where they talk both, they're both guilty about losing their first love, and both they feel that they should have prevented it. And then, you know, there's this great line, like, I guess we'll just have to let it go.
Let it go.
Yeah, man. Yeah, totally. When you see the ending, I was like, oh, wow.
That's brilliant. I did not catch that.
Nope. And then it's also what Robin Hood says, which actually turns out to be the core theme of the entire episode. Well, maybe things will work out the way they are supposed to. It's all a matter of timing. And, well, isn't that what happens in this story? They go back in time and they create a huge mess, which we, of course, all expect them to cause. It's the Back to the Future all over again.
I love Emma's line. Like, who do you think I am, Marty McFly? And then she has to explain.
Yeah. Well, and then he said, is he a wizard?
Yes. Yeah. A wizard.
A wizard.
Oh, and they set it up so perfectly when they're telling the story about, you know, how... You want your son to know that his parents fell in love during an armed robbery. That's not how we met. That's how we met. But it's not how we fell in love.
Right.
Yes. It wasn't until it was said.
Armed.
The whole line was delivered just like they say it in Back to the Future.
Yes.
When he kissed me under the sea, chance.
There were tons of references to Back to the Future, to Star Wars. It was brilliant.
So I'd already been spoiled.
I wish they could have just pulled in the VW bug down there. That would have been great if they were driving through a car to go back in time.
Yes, Lisa?
I'd already been spoiled. I knew what we were going next season because somebody on Facebook ruined it for me. Thank you, Facebook.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and they even tagged me in the picture. Don't do that.
That is cruel.
To make sure I saw it. Anyway, so I told my kids, I'm like, okay, at the end, we're going to have where we're going next season. So the whole episode, like when Marty McFly came up, they're like, we're going back to the future. And I'm like, no, no, no. And then when she said Princess Leia, they're like, oh, we're going to Star Wars.
I'm so glad that I was not spoiled because everything in this episode was a surprise. I thought based on the preview that the end of the episode would be just be this classic, oh, here's another vortex. It's not green, but this time it's yellow and we'll just go to the past. And I was like, okay, they spoiled. And then I was so relieved that that was at the beginning of the episode. It's like, oh, now I want to know how it ends.
I was already fantastic. A little bit worried at the beginning because I kind of figured out because of the spell working in the teaser, oh, they are going to the past. And I was like, oh, no, no, wait, they don't do a Peter Pan again on us. You know that they are spending the whole first half of the fourth season in the past. You know, and then we have to relive all kinds of stuff.
Yes.
So I was like, oh, no, don't do that, please.
No, after seeing this episode, I think that they made the right call to just contain it in this episode. Do the whole Back to the Future thing in one episode, but don't stretch it out too much because you could definitely, of course, you could do an entire half season with this, but this is so much more rewarding.
And it wrapped up everything that they'd been talking about with Emma.
Yes,
Emma, this whole season, she's been talking about going back to New York, going back to New York. I'm going to go back to New York because those memories that she made with Henry for the year, combined with the false memories that Regina implanted magically in her, she felt like that was home. She was longing for that normalcy, that stability. She felt no familial connection truly to Snow and Charming. And by having her go back into the future, she finds her true home. For the first time in her life, she finally feels like she truly belongs with this family. So this whole episode brings all that emotion to her that she's been missing. It resolved her of being the orphan, the lost girl. She is no longer the lost girl.
And it was brilliant because
she now has her family.
For three seasons, I've always wondered that if Emma is just one of the leading characters and the hero, the redeemer, why there was always kind of this emotional disconnect. It's almost as if she's too, I don't know, distant or cool but you don't hardly. I mean, all the other characters have a certain sympathetic kind of warmth, and not Emma. And in this episode, towards the end, that was the first time that I was truly, honestly moved by what happens to her. And there was this wow. It's almost as if they've already always known that this was what they were working towards. And that's why she played her character a little bit distant. It is this difficulty to connect. And now that spell has been broken. And she knows truly how to open up.
I told Lisa that I kind of felt like this was a series finale. Or it could easily have been a series finale.
Totally.
If they had left everything with the happy endings and they had the beautiful wedding, which I'm sure we'll talk about in detail, and everything up until they brought Marion back.
But I'm sure
it could have just been that it was Marion and they came back and, oh, well, she wasn't anybody important. Well, and they could have ended it right there.
Shelley, I think that's the way they write this. They write this is written perhaps 6 months in advance when they don't know if there's going to be another season. So what they did, and I think they did it brilliantly, was to write an episode that could be a complete wrap-up of the entire story. And then they have a plan B, which is basically all inserts that will make you that will open this up to a further story. So the elements that they could have left out and to completely wrap it up was basically Gold lying to Belle. They could have, if they had not done the whole dagger thing, then that would have been resolved. They could have not encountered that woman, because the story of Back to the Past would have totally worked without that woman that they saved. And then basically the final reveal of this other character that came along. Those three elements, I think were just a plan B that they inserted the moment that they knew that there was going to be a fourth season. And I think that is so, I'm so full of admiration how they write this stuff, you know, in these uncertain times when you can get canceled all the time. And so they knew that this would work both as a season finale and it would also work as a total series finale. And wow. Now they have another year to think about how they're gonna end the fourth season. The royal baby. I love the jokes in Granny's place and the pictures of the old episodes in the fairy tale book. That was cool. I didn't even know that also had a function later on to help us remember things from the past. But it was almost like, wow, we're at the end of this whole adventure and we get to see some of those scenes and people are reminiscing and do you remember that? And yeah, that was like that. And I didn't really know that we were actually going to go back to those scenes, but again, I loved it.
And don't you love the way they mixed the actual scenes from those episodes with
yes.
new scenes?
Yes.
So it was, and I guess they had to do that in a way because of Jenny Goodwin. Pregnancy, you know, mm-hmm. but it was fascinating that it was yes. most of it was as we saw it mm-hmm. with a little bit of change
moments.
That was kind of fun.
Yes. No, it felt very natural. I think they did it very, very well. And they gave all these events that we know so well a little spin. And it was also a bit of a nostalgia to just rewatch those scenes.
It's like,
oh, man, I remember that when we first had these discussions and the show was all new and we saw this. And now you get to relive those scenes with everything you know about how these people will evolve. And, oh, the moment that Rumpel enters the scene and you see the old... And of course, played by the actor right now. This was filmed this season, but to it was so well done, and it felt so much like the old Rumpel. It's like, whoa, what a journey has this character made, and to see his bewilderment, you know, learning about everything that is still going to happen, and it's like, no way, this can't be. that was one of my favorite scenes of this episode. Because we know, we have this foreknowledge. We feel like we are from the future, going back in the past. Haven't you ever, you know, thought of, you know, going back to in a DeLorean to the time that you were young and then giving yourself advice? I love that. Sorry.
What I think was great was that Emma got to see everything. I mean, it's one thing to hear about something and one thing to have other people tell you a story, but she's never experienced it. She's never seen her parents in that way. And the look on her, oh my gosh, the actress is so good. When they've landed and they're hiding and she realizes that the log is down and here comes the carriage and you get Mary Margaret's that Snow White musical theme, the theme
yes.
starts to play
yes, yes.
and she looks up and she sees her in a tree and she gets this huge smile and she realizes, oh my gosh, I get to see their first meeting.
Yeah, that was so
and then
brilliant.
Oops, everything, you know, but but the smile on her face, she's like
yes.
like you know, like she's spying on them in a way. It's just, oh, I know what's going to happen. This is so cool.
Well, and she only knew it from the fairy tales, and now it became real. And I think that whole experience bonded her because it filled in the blanks, and it gave her this connection that she never had in Storybrooke.
And, yeah, and where she came from, really.
That was so cool about this whole... Because at first, when this was introduced, you know, going back in the past, it felt like a gimmick. Felt like something even not really part of the Once Upon a Time style to go back there in time and just do a Back to the Future series. But it was done so well to create an emotional connect between Emma and her parents that it totally made sense.
Yeah, that's also what Snow says at the end when they look at the book, oh, you're Princess Leia. And then Henry says, oh, that's a cool alias, Mom. And then Snow says, you're one of us now. You're truly one of us
yes.
now. Because you're in the book.
Mm-hmm. She's in the book. She now is truly a princess. That's why she gets to wear the dress and everything. So it was all this almost an initiation ritual for her to go through all this, live what all the others have already lived through, being part of the fairy tale, and then coming back, and that story has changed who you are and where you belong. And I loved it that it is Henry who gives the book and says, you know, show her this to Hook, you know, and that will help her remember where she belongs. I thought it was so great. I mean, Henry didn't really get a big role in this season, but the moment that he is there, it truly counts. It's very significant and very much creating all these reminiscences to the first season. And it was just so brilliant.
And I have also the idea that Jared Gilmore, who plays Henry, is more comfortable with playing someone his own age than this young child he had to play before.
Wow. The little quips were brilliant, you know. The charming saying about Emma. Well, she is stubborn, just like her. And then looks at Snow, like all her family. Those moments had me laughing out loud. I love that.
there were almost too many to mention. I mean, when Rumble and Belle are talking, and Belle comes in and she's like, "And my father's given his blessing," and he's like, "The man who kidnapped you," and I'm sitting there thinking, wait, the man you beat almost to death with a cane?
Yeah. Right. So it's hard, like, you know, there's a lot of history already, so.
And they couldn't have done this in the first season. You have to have this history.
And it's almost like to honor the fans. I mean, mm-hmm. you have 3 years mm-hmm. and they're letting us look back on the first season in this way. And they stay true to the characters. They stay true to, what do you call it? The canon, you know, mm-hmm. of show. And they did it in such a fun way. I really liked it as a wrap up rather than, like you said, Father, giving us another curse, mm-hmm. and another smoke yep. rolling into yep. town, you know. This was, you know, it made me excited again. I mean, really excited again.
Me too.
Again.
And it did, I think, what a really great story has to do, and that is giving you that emotional wrap-up, that mm-hmm. that it's not just about the story and the events that happen in a new conundrum or whatever, but it's about you feeling involved with the characters, truly caring about what happens to them. And they did that with every single character in this show. And even the smaller roles that came back, like Pinocchio. And you see, it's like every time, it's like, oh, gosh, wow, they brought her back. They brought him back. And it's like, that's also why this could have functioned as a complete closure to the entire series. Because
yeah.
everyone came back and everybody was honored. Yeah.
The only person who didn't have a speaking role that came back, I think, was Aurora. We only saw her in the background.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And, well, thank goodness that, you know.
Oh, the line about the monkey baby.
Yes.
Ding dong, that witch is done.
Well, and we saw Pinocchio in Geppetto, which was, you know, nice. And the blue fairy.
I love that.
Yeah, we got to kind of relive a whole lot.
I love
Fred,
that's why it's so great.
Archie's parents were even in there.
Yes,
they were
the
puppets, but they were
puppets
in the background of the Dark One's castle.
Exactly.
when they show up,
and I've forgotten. I lost my train of thought. Doesn't matter. David, you're going to say something.
So they even brought back Smee on the where he's trying to smash that mouse, and then. And like, stop. You'll understand later. It's just,
I like the way Rumple was like, as soon as Rumple showed up, I'm like, you think that he's going to, you know, kill Hook? Hook's like, yeah, I don't think I better go down there. And he's like, why haven't I killed him yet? And he's like, believe me, mate, it wasn't for lack of effort.
Mm-hmm. And I love the reference to his clothes where the they changed, and she's like all upset because Emma's all upset because she had to change into, you know, the wench looking outfit, and he said something about, you know, leather jackets were not
red leather jackets won't be in fashion here in the future ever. Anytime
red leather jackets don't come into vogue here ever. Then she's all uncomfortable about the corset, and he says, your discomfort is a cross I'm willing to bear. His eyes never moved up.
I also love the little part where Emma unzips her corset a little bit, and Hook gets all jealous
because jealous of himself.
himself. You know? Yeah, that was fantastic.
I don't know if I'm his type.
I love
that
whole
jealousy scene in the boat, in the ship. It was so funny, you know, where he
Oh, it was beautiful. This whole episode really brought Emma and Hook together.
It did.
Seeing Neil, because, you know, a lot of people, they like Emma with Neil or they like Emma with Hook. And it's hard to kind of reconcile the two. But when they showed Neil, what I realized is I really liked Emma and Neil, the young Emma and the young Neil, or younger.
Yes.
You know, I liked the way they fit together in that time in their lives.
Yeah, yeah.
I was never really comfortable with Neil once he came back and he and Emma were kind of struggling to, is there something, isn't there something?
Right, right. Too much had happened.
A little forced, but Snow and Hook really, I wasn't a huge fan of that potential pairing when they first met, but during this season, I've really grown to like Hook more and more. Not that they've redeemed him, but he's not really a villain, but he's not really a hero.
No, but he truly cares. I mean, he is willing to go to hell and back for Emma.
Yeah.
And I love it when he says, I got to stop chasing this girl.
Yes.
One of these days, I'm going to stop chasing her. You know,
that was great.
He tells Charming, I'd go to the end of the world for her or time.
But don't you feel that it was almost on purpose that Emma chooses the name Leia, because Hook, more in this episode, made me think more than in any previous episode of Han Solo.
Absolutely.
Totally the same guy, you know?
Yeah.
I stop.
Even wrote that down.
Why am I even chasing this girl?
I also love the two of them, Charming on the log, and then I think Red was in the castle, and then they are talking about Emma, and then at one point Hook says to Charming, I hope you remember that.
Yes,
you know?
Her
parents approve. Well, after everything you've done for her, how would they not approve? And he's like, yeah, you better remember that.
I love that too.
But he was definitely the Han Solo, because Snow and Hook, when they're talking on, he tells Smee to go bring her down on the ship. The whole interaction there, you know, I want the treasure, you're a thief. If you get me this, if I bring you this, you're going to grant me safe passage on your ship. It's the rhythm, the way that it flowed, I instantly thought of meeting Han Solo for the first time. I'm Han Solo, the Millennium Falcon. It's a fast ship. Fast ship? You've never heard of the Jolly Roger?
Right, right.
It was amazing, the references there.
The moment where they...
The Jolly Dodger.
the moment they arrive in the past, I loved how before it was constantly Emma and then Hook is actually glad to be there. And he's like, okay, you know what? We have to be optimistic. We're going to be constructive. And he's all like ready to go. We're going to fix this. And then he pauses and then he looks at Emma and is like, any ideas what to do? That was so brilliant. It's very subtle, but I loved it. It's like, okay, I know. Wait a minute. You fix it.
Where's your magic? Where's your magic? Yeah. Where's your magic? Where's your magic? Why don't you have your magic? Zelina's gone. You should have your magic. Where's your magic? Life is so much easier without it. I can just run back to New York if I don't have my magic. Well, not if you can't get home, honey.
Yeah. I totally saw it coming that, of course, when they are observing the first encounter between Charming and Snow, that someone would make a sound. It was the classic, like the twitch, the
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you had to. And that was so amazing.
It was a trope, but it worked.
Every sci-fi movie ever or TV show, you don't go back in time because you always screw something up.
Yeah, of course, of course.
But they did it so well.
Well, I was amazed at how everything came back together so well. I'm like, that never happens in time travel.
No, they've learned their lessons from looking back at other movies, I expect.
Yes.
Did anybody else think that when Snow was meeting with Blackbeard, did anybody else feel like that was the cantina scene?
No, I didn't see that. But
the trolls probably caught.
Yeah, how is that the dude called from?
Oh yeah.
Where Obi-Wan Kenobi, I think, has to get some part of a ship, and then the creature is not able to be in control. So.
It just felt like the whole thing right there. I've said this feels like Star Wars. Like she's in the cantina and she's looking for a ship. She's meeting with different people, and then when they cut right to Hook and Emma standing on the hill looking down at the Dark One's castle, I thought, oh my gosh, it's Mos Eisley. You know, it's them looking
a
down.
There's hive never of been villainy.
A more wretched hive of scum and villainy. And I forget the line he used, but they're looking down. He's like, yeah, that's the Dark One's castle. Nothing ever good down there.
Well, of course, Disney has an interest in bringing Star Wars to the table because filming has started. Mm. Can you imagine that they're currently filming the new Star Wars movie? For those listeners that don't know, we have a Star Wars podcast that I might just plug here for real quick. I just recorded an episode, a very long episode, this morning with Dom Bettinelli about the latest rumors, and it's my first attempt to reconstruct or to kind of project the potential plot of this first movie based on the very tiny little details that we know. And if you want to hear my theory of how the movie could go, just go to and what the role of Han Solo and Princess Leia is going to be, because they have a role. They're back. Check out starwars.sqpn.com. That's where you will find that episode. But back to the Emma version, the Swan version of Princess Leia. I was a bit disappointed that we don't get to see more of Blackbeard. That was one of my gripes with the episode where we get to meet Blackbeard. I wanted him to have a bigger role, so I'm like, oh, we're finally gonna see the more of him. But no, it's just this deal that doesn't go through. I was surprised that they actually tell Rumple right away that they are from the future.
They had to. He was going to kill Hook.
I know, but still, I mean, isn't there another way to convince him not to kill Hook?
No, it was perfect, though, because here Emma is saying, you know, listen to me. I'm the one who breaks the curse, so you can. You're thinking of all these things, and he's like, yeah, and just kind of coming up with that. And she's like, no. I'm telling you, I'm the one who breaks it, so you can find him. I'm the product of true love, and that's just speculation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're from the future. That hasn't been done yet. Nope, someone's cracked that code, bud, you know.
Yep.
Here we are.
It was very matter of fact, and you know what, it's just the way it goes. And I loved how the every time you get this fantastic exchange between Rumple not being in the loop, not understanding, but we are on the side, of course, of Emma and Hook, because we know that we're talking to the old Rumple, and that whole. It just felt almost empowering. It's like we're part of the story. Yes. Oh, you wait and see. You know, it's gonna be awesome. And the little bit of exposure that they sometimes had to bring in was done very well. I mean, this was Rumple. It's like, oh yes, the book is empty. The pages are empty. It's the ripple effect. You need to put the story back on track. And in these, they did that very well, I think. Just briefly explaining, okay, this is the deal. This is what you need to do. And sometimes it was Rumple doing the exposition. Sometimes it was Regina. But it was all, every scene just propelled the story forward, because this is a 2-hour finale, but I don't know how it felt to you, but this felt like everything was moving forward so quickly. And I was constantly what's going to happen now? What's going to happen now? And Deborah, emailed us, she can't be here. She gave this episode a 10 out of 10. And she too was just constantly sitting at the edge of her seat with this question, what is going to happen next? And that's another huge quality of this episode. You think you know what's going to happen, but no, everything is different now.
I loved the whole scene with the waltz. She got her first royal ball. She got her first royal dance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was just beautiful, and the way that they interacted with each other, and the way they set it up, and
yes,
and the way that they let the story of bringing Charming and Snow back together, it followed the same parallel. So
yes,
Now the story is told a little bit differently. Instead of hitting him with a rock during an armed robbery, she's decking him with the music box.
Yep.
But the line
yep.
was the same. that Emma gets to really fully see why everybody, you know, she calls her Regina. You're like, wow, and you're still standing. Yeah, it's your majesty.
Yes, a little bit more respect would be required. And I have to compliment the creators on the special effects also in this episode. It feels to me like they've been really, I think, saving their money by not giving us these virtual castles every episode. And now everything just worked. Even Rumple's apartment, which in the past sometimes looked really fake, but it looked really good. It's like, wow, it's all works.
That's a big statement from you.
Yeah. No, I feel that this is what the show deserves. Yeah. The storytelling deserves the effects to be on this level. And it pays off. And I'm glad that they went this way, that they just, when you do virtual environments, do them well or avoid them, but don't do the whole muddle thing. I love the introduction of, let me just, one little inside joke. So you are, and then Hook is like, Prince, it's Charles.
And you kept waiting for her to say Princess Diana. But
yes, and do. Then you get Leia.
When she came up with Leia, I was like, brilliant. Oh my gosh. The writers are listening to Father Roderick.
And I still don't like Abigail. When she spots Snow, it's like,
He goes, it's all gold. And she's like,
yeah. You'll get used to it.
After a while, you don't notice it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was so unlikable.
Yeah, she's and that's true to her character. I mean, it would be strange to all of a sudden display her as this likable princess because no, she has to stay this really spoiled brat because we want to root for charming, beating Snow and falling in love with her. And I love that whole discussion about, between Hook and Charming, where it was two things at the same time. So Hook is questioning Charming about this, what do you feel about this basically business transaction, this wedding of yours? But at the same time, he is like courting, like asking Charming basically for, would you be okay with me hooking up with Emma? Because, it's Emma's father. And that was this double dimension to that conversation, which was, you can only do this in this show. It was fantastic. I'm not sure her parents approve of me. Well, they should. Well, I hope you remember that. Oh, and it was about true love, that whole discussion, And Charming is like, I'm not sure if there's something like true love. And Hook is the one who says, you know what? I think there is.
Beautiful. It was funny because for a 2-hour episode, I can't think that I ever looked at the clock and went, are we getting done?
Yep,
I mean,
no.
Where some episodes you're kind of like, wow, they're really dragging this out.
Especially Peter Pan stuff. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or sometimes you look and you say, it's only 30 minutes. We still have more time to play with this. Or you look and you go, it's 15, 20, mm-hmm. it's 15, 10 till. This is it. This is going to be the end of the bit.
No, this one just entertained. I guess that's the word. It entertained you. From start to finish, there was not any lull.
I love the beautiful scene in 2001. When Emma is still Lisa Loeb, and Neil T teaches her to pick locks. I love that. It's like, I never understood where she got that from. And it was Neil who taught her, and then it comes back when she's in the prison, mm-hmm. and she uses it to free the other lady.
They had too much fun writing this when she says, "What's your story?" And he's like, that's kind of an interesting choice of words."
Yeah, but I love what I thought was so brilliant about this backstory was that it made it plausible that these two were friends, and because you saw them bonding, this was the moment that they fell in love, mm-hmm. because they both share something in common. They used to have a home, and then things changed, and they were abandoned, and they missed their home. And it's such a central message because it is what Emma realizes at the end of the entire episode or the finale is like, you know that you have a home when you miss it. And to have that being said here with Neil in the rain, at night I thought it was just, it worked so well.
And Emma had not had a home. I mean, not that one that she knew, not one that she remembered. So Neil is the one who taught her what it means to know you've got a home. And that I went back and I thought, oh my gosh. So when she says it in the beginning of the episode that, I don't see family in this book. This isn't me. And I was never any part of this. I couldn't miss Storybrooke because home is the place when you leave, you miss it. And I've never missed it.
Yeah.
To her, she's never felt like it was home because it never has measured up to her definition of home. That then we learn is defined by Neil.
Yeah.
It's
duct tape around your head before you think about that too much.
No. It was beautiful. Then immediately you have that whole scene where Emma ends up in prison. And it is really cool. It's like, oh, it's just one night. Yeah, because tomorrow is an execution. And I was like constantly, oh, but they will get away. And then, man, you see this. Later on, what Regina does to Snow, it's literally burning her on the stake. I did not expect that to see that.
No.
No, but Emma in the jail cells, Marion is there again to remind her about family. Because Marion has that big, long, little soliloquy about being away from family is terrible, and the longer I'm separated, it doesn't go away. The pain never really goes away.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did you love it when she released herself? You know, she escaped, and Hook's like, "You're depriving me of my dashing rescue."
Yes, yes. That was it. I wrote that down. That line as well.
Fairy tale with Drew Barrymore, where they recreated Cinderella. I can't think of the name of it. All of
Never
a sudden,
after.
Never After.
Thank
Never
you. After. And she rescues herself, and the Prince Henry comes up and says, "I'm here to rescue you." And she's like, "Me?"
Well, and you got to remember that, speaking of Han Solo and Princess Leia parallels, what happens when they go to the Death Star to free Princess Leia? Like, 2 minutes later, it's Princess Leia who has to grab a gun and save them. And it's like some kind of rescue this is.
You had a plan for getting in. You never had a plan for getting out. Follow me, flyboy.
Yes. And Emma is like, I will save myself. Say again?
I'll just say Emma was a little bit naive there in the jail. So I'm like, well, oh, we're only going to be here for one more night. That's all. Like, think about it. She's going to have you killed. Like,
evil.
But she knows Regina, the changed Regina. It's difficult to switch back to the evil Regina. Even I was like, wow, she truly is. She was this evil. And kudos to all the actors to playing their former selves. That must be so hard, because as an actor too, you grow in this character, you get to know your character. At the beginning of this whole show, they didn't know what was coming. They didn't know what kind of story arc their characters would get. So it was just acting wise also fantastic.
Oh, did Emma make a quip about Regina's pantsuits?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did I hear that in there?
She did. Yeah. I love that. And the moment you see this other woman in the prison, or even when Emma wants to interfere to save her, I keep wondering, why don't we hear who she is? There's got to be something about this woman, and this is probably going to have consequences. But I love it that they did not
reveal
they don't give it away, and it was that final reveal. Is like, oh, no!
Your heart just broke, didn't it?
Yes.
I mean, my heart. Yes. I mean, after all this true love, you know, you've got Gold and Belle, and you've got Regina, and you know, you've got all the little couples, and it's all it's all true love. Oh, it's happily ever after, you know. And then they walk in, and you're just, oh my gosh, to see her face go from happy Regina to.
Yes.
You know, the old Regina.
And it's and that was also great of this episode. There were two of our classic villains that are now basically at least partially reset. You've got Regina who's angry again, and you've got Gold who he's manipulating, and he's lying to Belle. Even during the wedding, you have that flashback of the dagger that he hides. It's like, no, that is, the monster is still there.
And you don't have a son anymore to ground him.
Yeah.
You know, because Neil was kind of what grounded him back to trying to be good, to earn his son's love, you know, to get back in his good graces. Well, he's gone.
Yeah.
And he's got Belle.
Belle was a direction, but you're right. Neil was the anchor. He was the goal. And Belle was the one kind of like guiding him, kind of like, giving him that little tap to stay on course.
Yes.
And then that's clueless.
That whole marriage is based on a lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So those makes it fun. Yeah. I mean, for that.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Those beautiful vows that they said to each other.
That was brilliant.
That had dual meaning. And you know, when they're saying, he says to her, love brought me pain. And you're seeing Hook and Emma. And, you know, love had only brought me pain. Well, Hook, love had only brought him pain. Emma, love had only brought her pain. Mm-hmm. My walls were up. You broke them down. You brought me home. You could say it about both those characters,
true,
too.
True. You're right.
They brought each other home.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then when he says, you brought light into my life and you chased away all the darkness, Robin and Regina, both of them had been in darkness. Well, Regina more so than Robin, but you brought that light back to me. I mean, could it be any more Regina? You brought light magic into my life.
Yeah.
That I'll never forget the distance between what I was and what I am. And Regina in that scene is wearing, when she's walking in the street with mm-hmm. them, she's wearing a hunter green under her coat. And that hunter green is the same green that you see Robin in all the time.
Really?
And so for me, it was a shift in her costume, a shift in her personality, a change in her entire life.
Fascinating. I did not notice that. That is brilliant. Yeah, and it's truly, it's perfect. It's at that time, at that moment, I'm thinking, all happy endings, something will go wrong, but I did not know what, and it was making me anxious. Like, no, I want it to end like this. This is too good. But the fact that Gold is actually lying or is betraying Belle in a certain way, because I do think that the things that he says in his vows are genuine, but there is this other dimension of his that he can't prevent. Yeah. It's heartbreaking. Yeah, it makes me feel very uneasy, and then, gosh, even the happy ending between Regina and Robin Hood is not meant to be. It's crazy.
What do you think about her wedding dress? What she chose, and what, it was strange to me that they were out in the woods. One minute they're sitting there, and she's in that lime green, and he's sitting there nodding about this Prince Neil name, and like the very next scene, they're off being married by Archie. It's just the father. But did you notice the wedding outfit?
No, I don't remember.
Kind of 30s.
Actually, 20s. But the hat, I can't say the French word, but the hat was what really struck me.
Mm-hmm.
She's got that cloche. Is it cloche? It's cloche. French.
Mm-hmm.
Cloche.
Cloche.
It's a cloche hat. It's from the 1920s. It was really popular from like 20-something through about 33, and then it had a reappearance in the 1960s, which is where I think they were going. But cloche is French for bell.
Oh, really?
There's no doubt they picked that hat because it's the word for bell. It's a bell
shaped
hat.
You did your homework.
It was consistent with the way they've been dressing her, too,
yes.
with the style. Yeah,
the short coat made with the big buttons and collar made me think Twiggy. So that's going to be more like the 1960s, right? The real shorty skirts, more of your 1960s America. But when I saw the hat, I went, oh my gosh, it's a cloche hat.
Yes.
I just thought it was pretty unfortunate. I did not like it on her at all.
The white tights and those white shoes with the black heels and toes.
No. But isn't that also kind of the way she's dressed sometimes in the animated movie? So. Yeah.
It looked very Little Orphan Annie 20s, early 30s. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure that next season she won't be wearing that.
I did not notice that. I only noticed it was like, oh, that's old fashioned. Ignore the rest of it.
Oh, well. Perhaps she was just reading a book, written in the 1920s and thought it was fitting. What did you all think of the little cameo of Red, Little Red Riding Hood, and the wolf? That was great because I've been waiting for this.
And I love that they had the reappearance of the wolf.
Yes.
It wasn't her just standing around at Granny's or, doing whatever, but that we got to have, have that aspect of her back. That was fun.
I did feel that she is a little bit too redeemed now in Storybrooke. I actually thought she was more interesting when she was still this kind of, rebellious person and not fitting in and kind of punk. She's like very calm. I was like, who is that? Oh, wait, that's Red.
Well, because she's kind of lost what made her interesting.
Yeah.
And I guess that's why we haven't seen much. Besides her having that other show. But, we haven't seen much of her character. So, it does in a way feel like a reset for next season because any of these people could really kind of resurge back into main character world. I mean, we don't know what position she'll take on.
Mm-hmm.
Against the Snow Queen.
Well, you got to figure that Regina's going to be evil again. That pain has just been torn in half.
Yeah, her heart is wide open now.
So Emma and Hook, was that not the most satisfying, beautiful moment when she is talking to him outside the granny's?
Yeah.
Oh, it was
And
fantastic.
You realize that it's all down. He even says it. Once I was outside the curse and the walls were down, her walls go down.
Yeah.
You know, I took the only transport. I had to get a magic bean. And she's like, well, where would you have gotten that? And he goes, I traded my ship. And she just is like,
You
did that for me.
You traded your ship. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And she surrenders to him. She
Knowing
just completely
how much,
surrenders.
How much that ship was his new home. Mm-hmm. And he gave that away for her.
His identity, really. I mean,
the
part of him.
Well, and the ship is his woman.
True. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that too. That too. And it was in my notes constantly in these final like sentences that I wrote, jotted down. I constantly have like aw, because I was really choking up. I was like, man, this works.
Well, you know how I knew it was a really good episode. So I watched it again yesterday. After the kids got home from school and I turned it on instead of supposed to be working and stuff. And I turned it on and I thought, oh, I'll just leave it on kind of in the background while I finish up working on something. Mm-hmm. And no, I couldn't. I mean, I kept watching it, even though I've seen it, you know, I kept watching it instead of doing what I was supposed to be doing. So that's how I knew it was a really good episode, you know, that I can watch it 2 days apart and still really pay attention.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's also
my girls haven't seen the ending yet. We haven't had time to watch the whole thing together. And because my DVR failed me, but we've watched the first half and my daughters are speculating on who the woman is. And my oldest daughter doesn't know it yet, but she's right. She thinks it's Maid Marian.
Really?
And that will ruin Regina.
You've got smart kids.
But she doesn't know. They're just throwing names out there, you know. Wow. It could be this and it could be that. And one of them said it. And I'm like, yes, but I can't tell you that.
That is amazing.
So, like,
I'm really hoping
we have time to watch it tonight after practice.
Yes. Yeah. Don't keep it a secret for too long. I want to go back to that scene where we go back to the troll bridge, but now Snow doesn't have the dust. I loved how they resolved that. And that she's just
and
bluffing.
Emma and Hook didn't have to come to their rescue.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked that too.
Yeah.
And then that whole thing went even beyond that moment, because now that she doesn't have the black, the dark fairy dust, it could also mean her undoing later on when she's put on the stake by Regina. That was a terrifying scene. I was like, oh, there's someone's going to intervene, and no, she's burning there. And then
Emma's shocked.
She's like, because she was already saying just before that, you know, actually, I might not ever see them again, knowing that she might be stuck there in the past, and even then when she would return. Everything would have changed, and that's the moment that she realizes how much her mom means to her. And I just loved it. And then the fact that she has escaped by turning into a bug, a beetle, basically.
Ladybug.
I know, but at the same time, I was thinking beetle, and that's what she's constantly driving around in is like yellow beetle. It's so funny. It's just so much of these little nuanced quips. It's brilliant.
When did Emma say she wouldn't see them again?
That was a little bit before that, I think.
I think Marian said, I'll never see them again.
Oh, I thought it was Emma also realized that.
No, Emma says my mom would tell me to have hope. So she's realizing how much her mom has influenced her, that, you know, she's listening to Marian talk about, you know, there's no more hope. And Emma says, my mom would tell me to have hope. Okay. Maybe you'll end up with them again.
Cool.
But when she realizes how much she loves her mother, when she's standing there and they can't get down to her and they watch her burn at the stake, that was, she's just so horrified.
It was horrifying.
It was terrible.
It was a beautiful moment. I didn't realize it. I wondered how they'd save her, but I didn't realize she had the dust in her hand.
No, me neither.
It was brilliant.
No, and even when I watched it the second time, you can't tell.
No.
I mean, there's no.
You truly believe
there's
that
no reveal there.
They show her hand, but you can't tell there's anything in it.
It's clearly designed for a commercial break right after that, and you're like, what?
Yeah.
Well, and Regina, when Regina's confronting Snow, when Snow's going to throw, and that is like the best outfit Regina, Evil Queen, ever wore, that pale blue gemstones. Oh my gosh. But she says, I was just a child.
Yeah.
And she says, who didn't learn the most basic lesson. And I thought she was going to say all magic comes with a price, mm-hmm. but she said all actions have consequences.
Yes. So it's basically the same. But wasn't that an old scene that they replayed? Or I kind of like, it felt very familiar, that one scene, but perhaps I'm mistaken.
I don't remember.
I don't remember her ever confronting Regina and saying that to her at that time. Okay. So, because she always said, "What did I ever do to you? What did I do to you?" She never knew. So, to me, that was a little, what's the word, anachronistic. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a chronological mistake. I don't have any memory of Snow realizing that telling Cora about Daniel is what caused Regina to become the evil queen. Mm. And here she acts like she knew that that's what stopped the marriage and changed Regina.
Yep. Anyone speak bug? anyone fluting bug?
Just the blue fairy.
Yep.
Yeah. So the bug landed on Hook, and Hook tried to squash it. And I was like, don't do it. Because yeah. I immediately realized that's so prominent. I was like, oh, that has to be Snow.
It's got to be a magic bug or something.
So I was kind of in agony. Don't hit it. Don't hit it. You know.
I thought it was going to be Jiminy Cricket.
Oh.
You know how
okay.
crickets fly around. Yeah. I thought it was going to be Jiminy Cricket. They were trying to swat it. And so it wasn't until we saw it was a red ladybug, and I went, oh, it was all at the same time. I was like, oh, realization.
Yeah.
But then how – I thought Emma was going to have to change her, or were they going to have to kiss it, or – you know, I was sitting there thinking until the blue fairy shows up.
How are you – just kiss the ladybug? It's way too short.
Charming didn't love her yet. Funny. Was Emma going to kiss her? But then when she ran and hugged Snow, when she grabs her, and she's all in tears, mm-hmm. and Snow just looks at her like, yeah, okay, this is weird, but okay.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Then we get everything is wrapped up. Then you get the reveal that it's Marion and Regina, of course, is like, oh, you feel so sorry for her. And at the same time, it's like, no, don't change back into the evil queen. But the big, big surprise at the end is because you need like a cliffhanger. And so I was kind of expecting when Regina said, who knows what else you bring back or something like that. I was like,
you better hope you didn't bring back anything else.
Then I was like, okay, who is the person that's going to be introduced? I was a bit surprised where the whole thing came from, the blue liquid. Was it an object that came from the prison or from the...
It was an urn.
Uh-huh.
And it came from Rumpel's vault. And they alluded to it twice they said
yes.
this. But at the very beginning, when Belle is saying, you know, back in our land, you had a castle, you had a vault with no doors. Mm-hmm. And he said that was for the most dangerous and unstable magic that even I couldn't comprehend.
Oh.
I left the vault and all those dangers far. I left them all behind me, you know, and I wrote foreshadowing. Mm. And then later, when they come back to the Dark One and he's doing that forgetting potion.
Yes.
And Hook's like, well, he's going to kill us. And he's like, no, I'm just going to put you someplace safe, someplace I dare not go,
mm-hmm.
where I store the magic too dark or unpredictable even for me.
Mm.
And poof, they're in the vault. And thankfully, she still had the wand in her hand.
Yes.
So she could have that beautiful conversation with Hook about, you know, watching her mother die and realizing that, you know, I belong with my parents. I've never missed them more. But it's when they come back through the portal, somehow that urn, because Hook takes it out. And she's mm-hmm. like, what are you doing? Are you crazy? He said he's afraid of the stuff down here.
Yeah, yeah.
It was in a cabinet or something like that.
Yes.
And he takes it out. I was like, and then Emma's like, don't touch it. Just put it back and put it somewhere else. And
mm.
Yeah. And then I knew, like, okay, something's going to happen with this thing, you know?
I know.
I love that hill, that whole sequence. I was glad they didn't spin it out. It wasn't too long. And that final moment where, you know, Rumpel is holding Emma back. And you know, I need to know what's going on. And that was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful acting where Emma is like, he died a hero, but you can't take that away from him. That was one of our best moments, I think, in the entire series. It was so
so many.
it was also so true to Rumpel's character, because he wants to forget, but he also wants to know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, yeah, but he dies. And then you see...
But you see a moral decision there. It's like, yeah, I don't want to know. I don't want to mess this up.
But first he says, I can change. I can save him. Yeah. I can do this. And she's like,
You can't. Yeah, don't.
She's crying.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's fine.
You're Skyping out a little bit.
Peggy.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell?
Oh, I think you're trying to say a lot of things, but it's the connection is a little bit broken up. But it was a wonderful scene. And I love the moment where, you know, Emma finally gets through the portal and he has just taken the potion to forget. And he's like standing there like, what the hell am I doing here? Bloop, and he's gone. I laughed out loud. It was just brilliant. Anyway, and then so the big reveal, of course, you know, who else came back? It's Elsa. And even the way it was done, you know, the magic, the way it looked, it was all fantastic. It looked so Disney-like. And gosh, I was like, this is such a crowd pleaser. Everyone. Who has watched this will, and who has seen Frozen will be back, in season 4, and they're going to be very successful, I think.
I like the way that the challenge are they going to stay true enough to Disney that people will like it, or are they going to change it, or are they going to try to be true to Disney but not quite make it? You know what I mean? To me, it's a gamble. I mean, you're going to get initial people to watch, and then are they going to like it or are they not?
Oh, it doesn't matter. They have some time to write this and to fill in the whole story. According to Kate in the chat room, Adam, one of the writers, has said that they actually filmed two endings to this particular episode, and one of them involved Elsa, and it was only when Disney gave them the rights to use her. And this is probably around the time that Disney started to discover, you know, a couple of months ago, that with Frozen they had a super hit on their hands. That's when they decided to use this particular ending to the episode. They filmed this in the middle of the night after the cast had already wrapped up the season. And they all had already had their wrap party. So even the actors did not know who this mystery person would be and that it would be Elsa that came back.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Brilliant.
So now I have to go and watch Frozen.
Yes, you have to.
That's what I told Lisa,
a great story.
I have to go watch it.
You will not regret it.
It's so very smart, because once upon a time people who didn't watch Frozen now have to watch Frozen.
Yes. Well,
on boosting their revenue. Who hasn't
watched Frozen?
Not me.
And with that, we are at the end of this episode. I need to wrap up. We need to wrap up this episode because we've been going on for an hour. Of course, when there is news, when there is a reason to come back, we will be back. But I hope that you will stick around on sqpn.com for our many other shows. As I mentioned, we have a Star Wars show. We have a lot of other great shows that you want to check out. And there will be some Disney in our near future as well. So keep following us on Twitter, on Facebook. And thanks for listening this entire third season. We will be back for season 4.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.